Hey, bartender, another for my friend. Not that he's going to actually drink it because he doesn't drink beer, but Chris, you can take care of that. Anyways, Weasel's back with us. We are a complete trio once again here at the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle, the Student of the Game. To my right, Chris and Weasel, ready to bring you a little bit of warm-up for week one. I don't know what to really to call it. This is kind of the Student of the Game first because we enacted the study hall last year in week two, so we didn't pick for week one, and now we're picking for week one and the study hall and the whole thing where Weasel and I tie and Chris was three games back and we all picked at least 63% of the games right or something, whatever. But before we get to that juicy tidbit, a couple things have occurred since the last time Chris and I spoke with you, and Weasel's aboard to bring his insight as well. One thing that came up certainly was Michael Vick's contract extension with the Eagles. 6 years, $100 million is what's announced, but we all know for a fact that that $100 million probably won't represent what he actually gets, so it's more like $40 million guaranteed, something like that. Anyways, let's go with some thoughts, feelings, and opinions on that. Weasel, go ahead.
With Vick, I mean, he's got skills, and he definitely showed up last season, but I mean, he's the way he plays, I mean, he's just one hit from being, you know, sidelined. And so he produced. I mean, his background definitely was shady, but he definitely came back for the Eagles. So is he worth it? We'll see this season.
Okay. And something certainly worthwhile of being said, if we hadn't said enough last year, his passing form in itself has improved. The joke we made was Jail made his passing arm better. It was weird. Chris, anything to weigh in on that?
Yeah, well, it's actually his contract's a 5-year, $80 million with a 6-year option of $20 million. It's $32.5 million guaranteed plus $3 million guaranteed for injury.
Okay.
It's what they do with every football player. They have a great year. Let's prematurely give them a new contract. It was 1 year. Great. I mean, they do it with coaches. They do it, you know, players all the time. They just, you know, it's usually you want to wait 2 years, 3 years. They do it in college with coaches. They do it with players in the pros, college, you know, pros, coaches. I think they just prematurely did it. Could have gone one more year, waited till halfway through the season or end of the season, then gave him the contract. If he had, like, after the first six games, then renegotiate the contract.
I would make one amendment to your statement. Not could have waited one more year. Should have waited one more year. Because here's what we know for a fact is back in his Atlanta days, okay, they would start to catch on to him as a runner. Then they would make adjustments, get a speed guy on the outside, get defensive ends to cover wide, form a pocket around. Well, now making him throw the ball doesn't guarantee victory because he throws the ball so much better. I mean, he's made some passes standing still. He didn't used to be able to throw the ball standing still. But there's more tape on him now. I'd like to see if he'll study like a Manning or a Brady, learn his opponent, break him down, and tear him apart like he's capable of doing. I want to see him have more like a Breeze-like capacity, a Roethlisberger-like capacity. I'll say a Rivers-like capacity, you know, to where you're at least able to carve up a crappy team with just your arm. And I think they needed another season to do that. They had him under contract anyway. I don't think Vic was going to hold out. Vic holding out just doesn't make any darn sense. But stranger things have happened, too. Reggie Bush was a holdout his rookie year.
He already signed a tender, so he wouldn't have held out anyway because he already signed a tender.
That's what the evidence would lead, right? He was right. He was franchised already, so that's even more evidence that he wouldn't have held out. I think what the Eagles might have been trying to do was save a few million bucks by signing him now. That could come to bite them later. If I like what Weasel said about he will be missing time, I like how both their 2 and 3, Vince Young and Dave Kefka, are both running style quarterbacks as well, so they don't have to change the offense. And again, referencing Atlanta days, who was Mike Vick's backup in Atlanta? Anybody remember? Matt Schaub. Yeah, exactly. Matt Schaub ain't no runner, so the offense in its entirety would have to change. Now, not to say he did bad, because those backup games that he did serve for Vick gave him a career opportunity, essentially. That's how he became the starter in Houston, was people watching him going, that boy good, you know. So they should have used the one last contract year they had It's not like they saved a whole lot of money versus franchising him. I don't know. It will be left to see. Maybe they just didn't want to play the games at risk of having a richer franchise scoop him up. Who knows? And on staying on the topic of recent player acquisitions and adjustments, recently Chester Taylor was cut by the Bears. He has since been relinquished by the Cardinals. Any comments on impact?
He's actually a good third down back. I mean, he can catch in the backfield, and he's a blocker, so he'll be all right. Don't think the fantasy implications will be too much. So.
Okay, well, Chris?
Yeah, he's he'll be a good third down back over there in Arizona. He's a more big back than their backup they have right now. That was a third down back. Stephen Dowling's, can't think of his name right now. I'm looking it up. It's Stevens Howling. That was close.
Oh, yeah.
Stevens Howling. He's a little smaller of a player, and also he can't go through the whole season right now. It wears him down too much since he is a smaller of a player. As a third down back, and then also Beanie Wells has a case of the fumbleitis.
Yes, as a Giants fan.
Years. So he's, Josh Taylor has a good chance out there in Arizona. It's a good pickup by them that helps solidify their running backs due to the injuries of their rookie running backs that they drafted.
I had picked the Cardinals already. For me, Chester Taylor is an addition to that committee that makes me feel a lot better that I picked the Cardinals in that division. And we'll kind of leave that at that. Moving over to another kind of weird development all over the news today. I heard about it first this afternoon. David Garrard, 4-year starter in Jacksonville, lost his spot today. And I don't mean he's not starting anymore. I mean he's cut. The dude is a piece of paper hit by a pair of scissors. He's cut. And I remember texting Weasel about that, and he speculated something very logical. Oh, the rookie's going to start, right? Blaine Gabbert, we'll see him at the field. Not for week one, at least. Where we have Luke McCown. Yeah, y'all remember that star, Luke McCown, of Tampa Bay fame? No. The starting Luke McCown this week against the Titans. Now, I'll grant the Titans aren't exactly a juggernaut, but any thoughts on where that's going, Weasel?
Well, Jack Del Rio, he was interviewed, and he said that pretty much that Garrard wasn't picking it up, like he wasn't getting it on during mm-hmm. the season and during the preseason. And money could also be an issue because he had a $8 million contract.
Due to get $8 million, yes.
But, starting this season with Luke McCown, I can see that depending how their season goes with their defense and running game, the rookie could start. So,
Chris?
Luke McCown had a good preseason. I mean, they looked at it. Garrard started the last Thursday game, last preseason game. Started, didn't even make it out through the first quarter. They put Luke McCown in, and he had a decent game the other night. Also, Blaine Gabbert from Missouri is a rookie. I mean, he's been playing pretty well. He's got growing a little to do. But McCown's been showing some maturity out there, and he's been running the offense pretty well. And with Garrard, it was all money. It was $8 million. It wasn't the question, maybe money. No, it was money.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to save some money here because, they picked up some good linebackers this year. They're trying to maybe save some up some more money to – maybe before the trade deadline, maybe pick up some more defensive backs.
Get some beef
Or the offensive line, they were always weak at that last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it was I kind of watched some of the media before we got started taping this afternoon, just to kind of get the vibe of what the quote unquote professionals were saying. And I know Weasel's not fond of him, but Michael Wilbon made a very interesting point that this kind of thing is familiar for the Jags. I don't think that they cut Mark Brunell so suddenly way back when Byron Leftwich first came in. And 4 years ago, Byron Leftwich was cut a week before the season started himself in favor of Garrard as well. And the year previous to that, the two of them were starting, four games here, four games there. It was a tryout, a competition all season long at the quarterback spot. And that's all that's happening here. Is they're continuing the tradition, more or less. The way Wilbon put it is, they have a history here. Now, seeing this much change for any outsider at the quarterback spot made some worried. But then all you got to do is, like I just said, you got to look at the history for the Jags. They have a history of midseason competition at quarterback. Not to the, you know, it's not exactly the same as the Dolphins constantly pulling Chad Henne off the field for the Wildcat, but it's to that extent to where whoever's got the hotter hand is who's going to keep hitting the field. And if you struggle, you're coming to the bench for a while to give the other guy a shot. So it kind of keeps that fire in the rear end, which is a good thing to have for the young Blaine Gabbert or the veteran trying to get a second chance, Luke McCown. Also on another player note, something Chris and I forgot to mention for the Chargers, they had picked up Bob Sanders. Now, I forget the exact number, but the number of games he missed due to injury actually does outnumber the number of games he's played. Now, that being said, I bust on the West for being soft at all times. That's just what I do, be it the AFC West or the NFC West. In one word or less, gentlemen, does Bob Sanders work to make the Chargers less soft? Weasel.
Yes.
Chris.
Yes.
Okay, that's unanimous on that. Yeah. So anyways, we got that addressed. Speaking of things that have made an impact, this one isn't so recent, but everyone has, I think Chris and I touched on the acquisition of Terrell Pryor by the Raiders during our preseason shows. That I think we did that, their show, the day that he was picked up in the supplemental draft. He's been asked to serve a 5-game suspension. Allegedly, the NFL did not levy this suspension on Terrell Pryor because of his Ohio State transgressions, but due to some situation with he didn't follow draft rules or something like that. But their official stance was that it had nothing to do with his college activity. However, there's been another recent Ohio State football associate who is now under the employ of the NFL. Ohio State head coach Jim Tressel. He was part of the whole scandal with Terrell Pryor that we're not going to get into the details of right now, but the long story short, Terrell Pryor sold some stuff to get some tattoos, and Tressel knew about it and didn't report it. NCAA busted him. Short version. Everybody agree with that?
And he lied about it, too.
And he lied about it, right. That's pretty basically the point. So, I don't know if it was announced today or this week. Actually, I guess that would be one and the same, but I don't know if it was today or earlier this week.
It was Saturday.
Okay.
They announced they hired him.
Okay, right. The Colts hired Jim Tressel as a replay consultant?
Replay consultant.
Okay, so basically, he doesn't do anything with TV hookups or anything like that. He just helps the team determine if they should challenge a play. You know, something I believe a college intern could probably do. I'm just saying. I think we could do that job, right, Weasel?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Not that we're in college or interns, but you didn't need to be Jim Tressel to get that job. So, I'll leave out the part where they're hiring a coach to run the monitor. Not that Jim Tressel was a great coach, spending his entire career being the SEC's biatch in championship games and bowl games and whatnot, but I digress. He's not in till week 7. Well, why is that? While Terrell Pryor wasn't officially linked to college involvement for his suspension, I believe that Tressel is. And you can correct me on that if you got anything otherwise.
That's right, but where you start in week 7 did not come from Goodell. It came from the Colts themselves. They came up and said, we're not going to hire you until week 7. So, he is going to be hired by the Colts, but they're not going to use him until week 7. So they're letting him sit out 6 games beforehand, before they can use him. Then they can really use him after week 6, or week 7 or whatever. When it comes down the line, when they replay, they might really need that to make sure they can try to get into the playoffs.
So then on top of all that, though, Roger Goodell has came out this morning, I think it is, and said on Mike and Mike in the Morning that if the Colts hadn't done anything, he would have.
Right.
So, in effect, that's essentially an NFL suspension for college activity.
Right. It was Goodell wanted to say that he is that he doesn't want players coming in from college level that they're trying to avoid a suspension or they're ineligible.
To dodge the bullet.
Yes, they want to declare themselves. So he wants to make sure they try to stay in college, you know, and then come in clean. Just because if they're coming in with a suspension, then they're leaving. You know, he's going to uphold that suspension so that kind of leaves them off a little bit.
Okay, so now, in exchange to all the troubles with USC, I think last season or two seasons ago, we touched on it, and I said up front then that the only way to really shut down all the activity with agents and all the bribery where you got certain players who take a pay cut to turn pro, for example, just as a joke, is that the NFL needs to get involved. This shows signs of that. Now, I made my opinion obvious. Weasel, is this going to be a good thing that they're involved with the college game and that the two of them are working together or to bring pros in, or is that kind of an obstruction to the professional process?
Well, I think it could be actually be a good move because any backlash from a college coach or a player doing wrong, the Colts pretty much said that they would hire him and bring him in back later. I mean, they does show some, like, you know, class for the organization. So I could actually see it as, you know, a good thing. While Goodell throwing out suspensions, I mean, he's trying to play, like, the ethics card, like, that, which I don't completely disagree with, but I definitely see it as a good thing for the NFL because separating the two, a suspension is a suspension, but so I could see it as a good thing.
Okay, and yeah, it avoids the bullet dodging theory that we've had before, and if we see suspensions due to ineligible activity, they can't go to the NFL to escape. They can't, you know, pull a Reggie Bush, for example. You know, and I think there's a couple other underlying tenses to that too, like if the NCAA starts hammering down more and more suspensions, it actually has some teeth now too, because it could affect their pro career. And I mean, we already hear enough about rookies who were affected by the lockout in training. What if we slap an 8-game suspension on top of that? That's a very rough training session, and it's definitely going to cost them more millions than they would have gotten as college students if we're talking about a blue chip potential first round draft guy. That being said, there's a third implication in here that I see. Are they bringing in Tressel as a future coaching prospect? Is because we all know that Jim Caldwell is who he is or whatever. Somebody's sensing that the end of Peyton Manning's reign is coming. The neck injury, Chris and I talked about it to a great extent, that neck injuries are the death of careers in the NFL for the most part. Al Wilson at linebacker for the Broncos and Priest Holmes at running back for the Chiefs, two impressive players whose career was cut ridiculously short by neck injuries. Yes, we all know that Alsatt's career ended on a neck injury, but he was a fullback who had played for 10 years. He was already ahead of the curve. I don't really think that counts. That all being said, once Manning's gone, Caldwell doesn't really have a whole lot of his own prowess to account for, because we know that Peyton Manning was essentially coaching the offense. So is Tressel in place as a future coaching candidate? Are they seeing Peyton Manning leaving in the next couple years? I know that's a little bit of a reaching speculation, but, you know, why Tressel, why now?
They got dibs on him.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And Peyton's really, he's 35 years old. He said he wants to play 5 more years and that's it.
Well, he's only saying that because Brett Favre did it.
Right. So, I mean, he was looking at that form until his neck injury. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not coming better. But he's, I mean, Colts got Kerry Collins right now as a backup. I mean, they could have drafted someone in this, you know, the last year or two to try to, because you never know what Peyton was going on anyway.
They did at
least get him in the system to learn it.
Right, they did at least address it by drafting Curtis. I should have been a painter, but he just hasn't panned. I mean, it's not like no effort whatsoever was made, but a much more serious one should have been made. I can see that.
Reggie Wayne has been backing him up, though, like all preseason. And
Yeah,
he was even saying, like, he was outspoken about bringing in Kerry Collins.
He didn't like it.
Yeah, he thought, you know, Painter, you know.
Yes, because Painter knew the system. He knows the plays. I mean, it's Kerry Collins coming out of retirement. Who would you rather have? Someone's been in the system or someone coming out of retirement?
Exactly.
His name Kerry Collins.
Well, you know, maybe they should have gone for Dante. And sorry, I'm still bitter that the Niners did that.
He might have been better than Collins.
So, well, staying on the topic of quarterbacks, and this is something I wanted to get out to the public and try to get some response to. Go ahead and email us at thesotg@gmail.com, or leave a comment on the website. But it didn't make the airwaves because Chris said it between shows when we were doing the preseason. But he made some sort of a comment about Ben Roethlisberger of the Steelers being the new and improved Brett Favre. Give us a minute to explain this thesis, Chris.
Well, I'm just saying he's hard to take down in the pocket. Favre was that for a little while. You know, you wrap up Favre, somehow he gets rid of the ball. Roethlisberger's been doing that for a couple of years as well.
Well, in a lot of cases, he'll just beat people out of the way.
I mean, granted, Roethlisberger's about 50 pounds, 100 pounds heavier than Favre.
In a good way.
But he throws those interceptions in the red zone. He throws those pick six. I mean, it's just looking at the style of play, staying in the pocket, rolling out, throwing the ball. Favre could do that. Yeah, he got lucky. Roethlisberger is just a more new, improved version of what Favre is, and that's what I'm thinking of. We still have, what, he's been in the league 6 years, 5 years?
I think it's six.
Seven.
I'll look it up, but keep going.
Well, we still got, I mean, that puts him at, we got probably about another 8 to 10 years of Roethlisberger going on.
you're assuming he goes by the Big Ben rules. Look, a couple things on that. First of all, Roethlisberger has a physical element to his game, not a blow the whistle element to his game. That's kind of the difference between the two of them that just comes to mind offhand. But while I'll grant, and I mean, this is 2 years ago I did this, I did the numbers, 80% or so, I forget the exact percentage, but it was more than 80% of his passes were above 80% of his interceptions, just his interceptions, were made in the red zone, which is to say that the defensive back caught them in the red zone, or were pick sixes. That's a devastating stat. But here's what I know for a fact. Roethlisberger has never led the league in interceptions in a particular hole. Grant, like Chris said, there's still time.
Knock on wood, yeah.
Element? That's pretty damn cruel, if you ask me, accuracy-wise. Now, I predict that he'll have a year in his career where his number will jump because his body will start to catch up with him 1 year and he'll try to make plays that he can't anymore. And then he's either going to adjust his game or retire. But I don't know, man. Roethlisberger started out throwing interceptions. He threw interceptions for a long time. Didn't get accurate until he played a year with the Vikings. The 1 year that, you know, he was good until he was bad, playing against the Saints where they went to the Super Bowl and won. I don't know. That, you know, I like it, Chris, but wow. Weasel, how do you weigh in?
Well, I would say because of his interceptions, a lot of them are inopportune, and they just come at bad times.
You know, I got to stop you. Is there such a thing as an opportune interception? I'm just asking.
Well, it's like you get an interception and you're down at, like, you know, half feet, midfield or something. But I mean, he throws them at the worst possible time a lot. But I think a difference also with Big Ben and comparing with Brett Favre, I guess the passing is on, but Big Ben is very mobile and he's very accurate passing on the run. Favre, I mean, he wasn't really that, you know, run after a first down, get a ton of yardage.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing him run a lot. And for those who remember, we were talking about earlier, this is going to be Roethlisberger's 8th season, so he's a little bit older.
Yeah.
Than we thought. He's 29 right now, so, you know, he's in his prime at quarterback, as many people will say. Whereas 29 for a running back, they're about ready to take him out back and shoot him. Funny how that works. But in any case, I'm looking at his stats from last year. 17. Oh no, that's probably from preseason. Let me try that again. I'm looking at his career stats right now, and I see 86 interceptions for 144 touchdowns. Does that sound like Brett Favre to you? The year where he had the most interceptions, he had 23 in 2006. Okay. 2006 sounds like a significant year for the Steelers to me. Right, Weasel?
Yeah, a little bit.
Why is that?
Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing where they came from the sixth seed. Yeah, no. Now, I'll say this, though. He is like Favre in one facet. I don't know how good Ben Roethlisberger would be without a fantastic defense. So, to an extent, we don't have a really accurate comparison between Favre and Roethlisberger in that Favre had some years with some crappy defenses with the Steelers. So, maybe in 3 years, Chris will turn out to be right. I don't think so, but that's on the table because the Steelers' defense is aging. After this year, much like the Ravens after this year, I'm going to start wondering. You know, I mean, I think, especially if the Ravens win the Super Bowl this year, there's going to be a whole lot of people who are retiring because they got to the promised land. Ray Lewis among them, of course. Anyways, all that aside, gentlemen, I believe it is time for the feature of this show, the study hall, our version of the Pick'em. We go through all of our featured games, our 10 featured teams, and we simply say who we think's going to win, and we keep the track of it. So with that, I believe we are ready to go, and we'll go ahead and open up with, of course, the season opener. Thursday night's game, the Super Bowl champ from 2 years ago versus the defending champ. I think Weasel's got the Saints, yes?
No, I got the Packers.
He's got the Packers. Did that hurt?
Yeah.
Just a little bit? Okay, I'm asking. I know you have three teams, and two of them are Packer rivals, so that's cool. I'm not hating on that at all. I know you bit about the Packers because they beat one of your teams last year, the one who's not in the AFC North. So there's a triple whammy there. There's no hate. I'm trying to feel your pain right now. Am I feeling your pain?
No, they just got back some players from injury, and they're in good shape to make a run. So.
Okay, so actual professional analysis. I'm digging this. I like this analysis thing you're doing. This is hot. Chris.
I got the Packers as well.
I'm trying to remember what I had when I did the preseason. And I don't remember who I picked winning the stupid game. Because what I think happened is when I talked about the AFC North, I had the Packers winning that game.
You mean AFC North?
Thank you.
Yeah.
When I talked about the NFC South,
you had the Saints.
I had the Saints winning that game. But then my logic comes back and reminds me that the Saints have no stupid defense. I got the Packers as well.
Hey, going back real quick to the Favre Roethlisberger thing, I just calculated Favre's first 7 seasons in. Well, take away the first season because he only played 2 games.
Well, right.
So the next 7 seasons, he had 213 touchdowns, 116 interceptions.
213 touchdowns to 116
interceptions.
Okay.
That's right.
So. Should have told me you were doing this. I'd have held off on the study halls.
I was counting real quick.
Whereas
counting what you're doing.
Ben has 144 to 86. And of course, you know, not to be mentioned, he's throwing for a running team. I don't know that the Packers are doing that, but for 11, he got basically thrown right in as a starter. Where Favre had a couple too. That's also worth mentioning.
It was only one. He had played 2 games in 91.
Falcon.
2 games.
Roethlisberger's first game, he came in off of an injury and won the second half against the tough Baltimore Ravens defense. I'm just saying.
And didn't you lead him to the Super Bowl, too?
Say again?
Didn't you lead him to the Super Bowl as rookie year?
Yeah.
So what was Roethlisberger's?
144 and 86. So maybe over 72.
So Favre had 1.83 touchdowns to an interception, and Roethlisberger's Favre dumped the ball to Shannon Sharp, or then, you know, after he retired, Donald Lee somehow got the ball to a running back. Ben, he got 3 guys hanging out the ball. The ball left.
Roethlisberger just looks so much better doing it. I'm sorry, but there's no underhanded throws when Ben does it.
That's why I said it's new and improved. So since the new improved Favre.
That's still a tough sale, man. How good Favre. Favre, actually, he spent most of his time at what was NFC Central, where regularly, twice a year, he would get to play a team. The Bucks, where they were awful. The Vikings in those days, whereas Ben has always gotten to face the Ravens twice a year. Anyways, we've beaten that dead horse. Levi, go ahead and shoot us an answer at thesotg@gmail.com. Comment on the website, we will do.
We'll pick the Jags, and they're at home. And I'm going to roll with them.
Yeah, okay. The Jags at home is a factor, but another factor for me is that it's Matt Hasselbeck. No, it's not going to happen. I got the Jags too. Chris?
I picked this game before a new guard was cut, and I'm staying with it, so I'm staying with the Jags.
Another three for interesting.
It's the Titans. I mean,
it's the Titans. That's right.
Chris John.
So we're not cool. We won't get to say Bo's Cave.
Yeah, it's still sad, though. Bo's Cave.
Bo's Cave.
The Titans really miss Bo's Cave.
We miss you. I'm going down to 1 o'clock.
No.
I'm going on Thursday, 1 o'clock, 4:15, then the Monday night.
My frustration is that my brain hurts. Oh. You're going to do that fine. You get to pick it first, Chris. And who's hosting this one? You said the Ravens are hosting. I think something funnier than that is going to happen. I think we're going to have a situation where the team is going to... I mean the Steelers.
So you got the Steelers.
Yes, I've got the Steelers. Forget that whole thing.
He's going to pretend to reverse it.
he pretends to... Collins comes out, their first loss, the Texans their first win. Weasel.
Yeah, when I was doing my preseason, Bob Sanders was gone. And so that means you got Bob Sanders gone, you got Clint Sessions gone. So the Texans with Arian Foster and Ward, they're just going to run right over the Colts. So I got the Texans.
And there's that whole Andre Johnson thing to make things more complicated. So, yeah. who's next?
At Bucks.
This is an amazingly tough game to pick. If you don't know better... It's very easy, like, oh, it's the freaking Lions. Gentlemen, do we remember last year the Bucks with an above 500 record? Anybody remember that? Their schedule was that bad last year in the NFC South. All that being said, we're given no more time to develop. On the strength of that, I have a very angry Ndamukong Suh, who's looking to choke a few biatches, and a Matt Stafford, who's healthy at the Lions. Weasel.
It's a good call, but I'm still going to go with the Bucks.
Chris.
You know, with Ndamukong Suh, and you got Nick Fairley, and you got Vandenbosch.
Yeah, don't forget Kyle Vandenbosch.
It's like the battle of the years with Poy, I think. And, you know, who can stop the run? Can we stop?
Oh, Gerald McCoy, yeah, on the line. Right, right. And then they got Sammy Strotter as well as a receiver who's a...
I kind of like this Lions game. This year, I mean, as I was telling you, 8-8. I think I got him winning this one.
So I got him 8-8 too.
I got this one.
All right, there you go. Weasel looking to take a lead on that one.
Falcons.
No, that's not a surprise. You hate Jay Cutler. You at least have your priorities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, it's because of Ray Edwards. Angle you.
He likes Matty Ice.
Matty Ice. That's not sure, but
yeah, well, that's a different. If you because of what they let go lately, I mean, they let go, and that's kind of a big deal. They brought in Roy Williams. They're rolling the dice on that. I'm not really feeling too hot about that. I said before, I got the Falcons.
You didn't the Bears just picked up
That's right, up from the cutting from the Patriots, correct?
Right.
I was trying to remember who that was.
But then also in Davis, who's been out of, like, for 4 years at tight end, and also Matt Spaeth
from the Steelers.
Former Steelers.
He's number 2.
Anyways, so yep. What's okay?
But
I don't think that changes my
Giants.
Mind. Chris? Oh wait, never mind.
Yeah, I mean, Giants have gone through some injuries, and they have their middle linebacker got placed on IR now too. So that's third.
Hold on, let me twist your arm there, partner. Who's next?
Chargers.
Now, Weasel, faith in your team before and paid for it. Team has failed me so much in the past. I'm picking in favor of Philip the Fraud Rivers. I got the Chargers.
So that's good news for the Vikings, then.
Yeah, but I'm going to pick the Chargers.
Oh, my goodness! As well. I'm just saying.
I'm going with the Chargers as well. They've solidified defense.
Over the six Bob kid. Sanders.
Right. Another linebacker from the Niners as well. Still, I mean, it's... I got the
you just
got to
rub
anyway.
In that the they Niners got, shift out all the defense.
Chargers got too much, I think, firepower on offense now with Vincent Jackson full going. Antonio Gates back from his injury.
And yeah, just too many departures from the Vikings. I believe they got rid of not Greenway, but Ben Lieber as well. So, and of course, the biggest William, big loss. Confident that the Finns have their and confidence in Henny back quite yet. Although I will give Henny around a bit in the preseason, Chris.
I get the pads on it.
Subscribe to iTunes so you can get the podcast directly to you, or you can go to the website www.thestudentofthegame.com. Subscribe there, just enter in an email address, or follow us on Twitter.